Hello, this is Steve Hackett of Genesis. You're listening to Suzanne Hunter's World of Arts and Entertainment.
Right, it's a great pleasure to welcome Steve Hackett. Thanks very much for being on the show, Steve.
Nice to talk to you, Suzanne.
Now, I know a legion of fans who have not already seen you at the Royal Albert Hall
yes.
Are very excited to hear you're going to be touring with Genesis Extended.
That's right.
But before we talk further about that, I was just wondering, who was it that actually named the band in the first place and why the name Genesis?
Well, originally, Genesis were formed at school, and the school that the band was formed at 2 or 3 years before I joined was Charterhouse. Now, Jonathan King, he was an ex-pupil there, and he actually produced their first album. So he was the one who named the band as Genesis, with the album From Genesis to Revelation. So that's the connection originally with the Genesis title.
Oh, I see. I mean, Genesis is such a great rock band, but you've also sort of gone from pop experimental to progressive rock. Who
yep.
would you say in the band was most responsible for forwarding each movement?
In a way, you know, there have been a number of people through the ranks of that band, and originally the singer was Peter Gabriel, mm-hmm. who I think was, you know, largely responsible for a tremendous amount of the band's success and intellectual input, if you like. But all of the guys really in the band wrote, and I think I would be right in saying that each were capable of either writing something symphonic or even a hit pop song. So I would say that they were extremely versatile people. I worked with some very good people in the days when I was in the band, which was in the 1970s, and currently we're all kind of part of the band again with this archive thing coming out and what have you. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's had a long history.
Absolutely. I mean, talking of the original lineup and saying about the archive, there's going to be a BBC Two documentary, isn't there? Genesis
there is.
Together Apart.
Yes, that's right, yes.
It's the first time you've been together since 1975. I mean, whose idea was it and how did it feel coming
together?
Well,
I think it's something promoted by the BBC, and in a way it was something filmed, and the idea was that this would be in tandem with the archive record box set, which is 37 tracks from not just the band, but the individuals too. So, you know, Peter Gabriel, there's three tracks from Peter Gabriel, three from Tony, three from Mike, three from Phil Collins, three from me, solo tracks. So, for instance, you know, with Pete, it's Salisbury Hill and Biko and another one that I can't remember, and Phil Collins, it's In the Air Tonight. So, you know, these are sort of very well-known tracks, and Mike with Mike and the Mechanics. So the, you know, these things have been hits either with the band or separately. So three from each of us.
Sounds fantastic. I mean, that's yep. going to air on the 4th of October at 9:30.
That's right.
BBC
yeah.
Two. So that's all so yep. definitely something to look forward to.
Yep.
I mean, you're such a prominent figure in the band as lead guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn the guitar from an early age, and who would you say influenced you most growing up over the years?
Well, early influences were the Shadows, Hank Marvin and the Shadows. I mean, just like Eric Clapton, you know, so those early influences, you know, because they were kind of our older brothers, Cliff and the Shads. And then as guitar started to develop throughout the 1960s, I think the Rolling Stones played their part. They were very exciting, blues-based. And although they were very young, they were very fiery at that time. So they were a huge influence. And then besides all the kind of R&B boom and Britain's ability to be able to throw up tons of guitar heroes such as Eric Clapton and Peter Green and Jeff Beck, a little bit later Jimi Hendrix, I started listening to classical music at the same time. So I was listening to Segovia playing Bach, and that was a huge influence on me. And I didn't think that those separate strands of music were ever really going to come together. I thought I'll listen to classical music in my spare time, and I'll do rock and pop and try and become a professional musician at that. But I didn't think that those two separate strands would come together. The rock and blues, I thought, would remain apart for a long time. But they did start to happen, and bands started to fuse those very separate influences.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you definitely hear that. I mean, ELO, you know, and just so many other bands, you know, it's a classical strand, obviously running all the way through, isn't there?
I think the same with Genesis, you know, so you had people that were influenced by Vaughan Williams in the band, but equally influenced by Buddy Rich. So you had the syncopation of American jazz and big band being mixed with European harmonies, you know, the influence of classical music and even song and all of that was important to the Genesis guys in the early days.
Yeah. I mean, great music is great music, isn't it? Whatever genre.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. So we were a mixture of a lot of very separate things that you think might have stayed opposite, but there was a fusion of many disparate styles.
Mm, that's what makes it interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I mean, there's so many hugely successful albums to choose from, but I have to say 1986 Invisible Touch album is such a great one, and one of your best-selling albums, of course, which all five singles entered the top five slot on the Billboard 100, and Invisible Touch reaching number one. Did you all have a feeling on that particular album that all the songs would become hits?
You know, what the band became subsequently was really very much video-based pop, whereas in the early days, I think that the music was more more complex, there was more storytelling, we weren't limited to the length of videos, so we weren't doing songs that were appendages to videos at the stage when I was involved with the band and Peter Gabriel. It was a very different thing.
Yeah.
It was very much long form stuff. So some of our songs lasted 23 minutes long, for instance. nice length for a single. That's progressive rock for you. Yeah, you know, which borrowed a lot from symphonic length pieces. Yeah.
It's fabulous, isn't it? I mean, can you cite any particular songs you worked on over the years with Genesis that formed themselves relatively easily and others that were a bit more of a slog?
Well, I would say the first hit single we had back in 1973 was a little ditty called I Know What I Like. That was very, very simple, just based on a repetitive guitar riff which I had. Then, you know, the more complex things such as Watcher of the Skies and Fountain of Sarmasis. So Watch of the Skies, more complex with, you know, the use of Mellotron and storytelling, science fiction-based stuff. Equally, the band was influenced by Greek mythology, so we had stories such as the Fountain of Sarmasis and characters from Greek myth might wander in and out of the tunes back in the day. So it was a more complex thing. But I think what we were doing, in a way, was films for the ear rather than the eye. You know, it wasn't really pop as such. It was something else. It was more epic.
Yes. Quite theatrical.
Theatrical, and the songs were more journeying. And it was theatrical, certainly for Peter Gabriel, who was prone to dress up in a red dress and a fox's mask if the occasion called
as
for it.
As you do.
As you do, yes. As we all do, of course.
Of course. Now, working on singles over the years, you've contributed on 6 Genesis studio albums, 3 live albums, and 7 singles. Mm. What do you personally find the most challenging aspects, and similarly, the sort of most joyful aspects of working on both live and studio albums?
Well, I do love working in the studio because, particularly these days, you've got a chance to get it absolutely dead right, whereas in the early days, we tended to be rushed, and we were between tours, and so an album might take a month, or it might take 6 weeks. Live work, of course, you've got once to get it right, but then you've got the rush and the excitement of a crowd. So I still love doing that, and particularly with the Genesis revisited shows that I've been doing, and Genesis Extended back by popular demand this year. That's wonderful to play material that's, let's put it this way, the material has already proved itself, and so it's wonderful to do that. I'm not all entirely archived these days. I've just finished a new studio album and working on the 5.1 mix of it as well. So I'm really thrilled with the new stuff. So after this year, I get a chance to be myself again next year. And so I won't be doing Genesis shows. I'll be doing my own stuff.
Oh, yes, because, of course, I mean, you founded your own supergroup with guitarist Yes in Asia. And so you know all about selecting great bands of musicians.
I've been very lucky to work with great people over the years, and with the present band I have live, we have Nick Beggs on bass, who's wonderful, and is a pop star in his own right, or was, in fact, with Kajagoogoo. But, of course, these days, you know, he's very much in demand with artists such as Stephen Wilson and John Paul Jones of Zeppelin. So he's turned into a marvellous all-rounder.
Mm.
Yeah, it's been extraordinary. I've been very lucky to work with great people and some great singers in recent times. But
yeah, I'm sure they say the same of you.
Well, yeah, that people have been very people have been saying very kind things about me. The other thing is, you know, I've worked with Chris Squire of Yes, and we did an album a couple of years back called Squack It, Squire and Hack It, Squack It. So we did all the vocals ourselves. So I sometimes do the lead vocals. So in my solo stuff, I tend to do the vocals myself.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, actually, because I was going to say, you know, obviously with Peter Gabriel and flute and vocals and Phil Collins drum and vocals, you're starting to feel a bit left out by this point. You know, you're a lead guitarist, but is it nice to do the lead vocals?
Oh, it's lovely to do lead vocals. I mean, I've got a rather different voice these days. I think I'm my voice, I tend to do vocal harmonies, and I think my voice is somewhere between a country singer, and there's a fair amount of folk in it as well, and pop. But I do like singing these days. I tend to sing more than I scream. I mean, it's a little bit like Robert Plant was to tell you these days. He's not really a rock thing. He says, yes, rock is part of what I do, but, you know, that lovely album Raising Sand that he did with Alison Krauss, he's singing very gently. So I tend to sing more than I scream.
Save the vocal cords.
Yeah, I mean, I was a great fan of Roy Orbison, and
he barely opened his mouth, did he? But the sound that came out
was
just amazing.
But it was huge and beautiful and full of heart. And I've worked with other great singers like Richie Havens and Randy Crawford.
Love her.
Richie sadly passed away a while back, but Randy had a wonderful voice, and one of the first things she had released in this country was on my debut album, having left a Genesis way back in the day. First thing she had released here. But I do like singing, and I like arranging, and I like playing guitar. But again, that's only part of what I do. You know, it's we're all involved in lots of areas. It's like Eric Clapton, isn't it? Part of what he does is play guitar, but there's a major amount of time writing songs and being involved in the production of those things. So for me, you know, the excitement of working in a studio where the studio itself is an instrument in its own right, I love that. But equally, you know, playing live is a fantastic thing. It's a great buzz.
Yes.
Love doing that.
Getting a chance to experiment, isn't it? I mean, as you said, your style's encompassed progressive rock, world music and classical. And you have influenced so many other guitarists over the years as well. You've also been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2010.
Right.
That must have been a great honour.
It was a great honour, yeah. It was a fantastic evening, and I got to speak to and rub shoulders with some of my heroes, and it was a very emotional evening. Great to see other people performing on stage.
Yeah, wonderful.
Whose records I'd bought when I was a kid, so that was marvellous. Yeah, I felt the feeling that whoever was up there, they'd already earned it, if you know what I mean. To see Carol King on stage being applauded. And
singer-songwriter.
Yeah, incredible songwriters. And there are many people who are being honoured for their songwriting posthumously. You know, lots of hits that you would have bought.
Mm.
You know, that whole team of writers who were involved with the Brill Building in New York. All of that from a golden era of, the American Songbook.
Yeah, incredible, isn't it? It influences everything that we do from now on, doesn't it, really? Yeah.
Yes, it does.
I mean, you were saying earlier about, you know, you love the studio experience, but also live, and you are going to be live again, which is lovely.
Right.
You've been at the Royal Albert Hall and Hammersmith Apollo, and there's DVDs, obviously, as well. But you're going to be at G Live in Guildford on the 3rd
indeed.
Of November. Are you looking forward to that?
I am, yes. I'm looking forward to it tremendously. I used to play Guildford very often doing the Civic and have great memories of that. So I'm looking forward to doing G Live. I've got it written here. It says Glive. Yeah? Seems
it's a new interpretation.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, I mean, some of the band originate from around Godalming, don't they, Genesis?
Yes, they do. It was a stronghold for the band, of course. You know, you've got the whole sort of Charterhouse background. And it is, yeah. It's a lovely area. I'm looking forward to coming back to Guildford. Wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's lovely. It's a nice big space, so I'm sure you're going to fill it, and it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great night. So it just remains for me to say thanks ever so much for coming on the show, Steve, and I wish you the very best of success.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Thanks a lot. And that was the legendary lead guitarist, Steve Hackett.